This is WMUK's Let's Hear It. Thanks for coming along again for more Music of the Moment in West Michigan. I'm Kara Lawrence. Austrian pianist Till Fellner first gained worldwide notice when he won the Clara Haskell competition in 1993. Saturday will be his first appearance at the Gilmore International Keyboard Festival. He'll present a solo recital at 1 p.m. in Stetson Chapel. I spoke to Mr. Fellner about his program of Schumann, Beethoven, and Berio. How much time in a season do you tend to spend abroad, like in North America, as away from your home? Is that still in Austria?
Yes, my hometown is Vienna, but I'm traveling a lot, mostly in Europe, but also in the States once or twice per year, and also in Asia, mostly in Japan. And I'm also teaching in Switzerland, in Zurich. So at the moment, I'm really traveling a lot.
You're very much admired for your thoughtful interpretations. And I know that you've done complete series of the works of certain composers, such as Beethoven. Does doing the full traversal of a composer's work help you as a performer?
I hope so. And especially with Beethoven, I think it's very important to play as many pieces as possible, because every piece is so different from other pieces. And it was Beethoven's, I think, goal or his vision to really create something new with each piece. And so I played all the sonatas and also the five piano concertos, but also quite a lot of chamber music, all the cello repertory and some of the piano trios. So I hope that this way I can understand a little better his music, yes.
Your program on Saturday, May 7th, begins and ends with Robert Schumann. Have you done an extensive survey of his works, either in public or as, you know, private study?
Yes, actually, over the last two or three years, I've played and studied some of his great piano pieces, like the Symphonic Studies and the Davidsbündler Tänze, Kreisleriana. So now it's the Fantasy and the Papillon. But I also did some of his song cycles, you know, Dichterliebe and Liederkreis with Mark Padmore, the wonderful English tenor. So yes, it's there has been quite a lot of Schumann over the last years.
Well, certainly puts you inside his work, his mind, his ideas. I found Schumann to be elusive at times, partly because he seems to change color and character so often. His thoughts can be really fleeting,
yes.
Like daydreams or something. This first piece, Papillon, which translates to butterflies, I think.
Yes, right.
It says Opus 2. When did he write this? How old was he?
He was very young. I think it was written in the beginning of the 30s, the 1830s. So he was really young. Actually, it's a collection of little dances. What is unique about this piece is that all these pieces are really very short. And in a way, I mean, of course, there are the Beethoven bagatelles, but still, in a way, these pieces are the first musical snapshots, you could say, depicting characters and situations in the flesh. That's very challenging, but also, of course, great for a performer, because you have so many different characters.
Is it like when a singer has different characters in each song that they kind of prepare for before they start? Is it similar for you when you have one short dance, and but you need to keep the next one in mind as it comes closer?
Absolutely, yes. You have to be in the right character from the very first note, because otherwise it's too late, because these pieces are really extremely short. You know, some of them last only a few seconds, or maybe 30 seconds. So that's something I would say quite progressive about this piece.
I wonder if we should here jump to the end of the program so that we can contrast Robert Schumann's Opus 2 with his Opus 17, Fantasy or Fantasia. There's a different universe here.
Yes, this is really one of his, maybe his greatest piece for the piano, I would say. It's, of course, totally different from Papillon. I mean, here you have three long extended movements, and it's totally different.
I find the beginning of this piece to be disorienting. Like you leave the ground immediately and you're just swirling around in the air. These figures just take you off of any solid surface right away.
Yes, he writes that the first movement should be fantastic and passionate, you know. I agree.
The dedication to Liszt, I have a question mark next to that, because I thought Liszt and Schumann were in two different camps of musical thought during the 19th century.
Yes, but they admired each other, and you know that Liszt responded with his great B minor sonata. So this sonata is dedicated to Schumann. So you could say that Schumann dedicated his greatest piece to Liszt, and Liszt dedicated his greatest piece to Schumann.
Do you have a personal story about learning this piece or having a lesson where some of its mysteries were explained to you?
Well, I studied this piece when I was very young, and so over the last 20 years I've played it again and again. So in a way, I feel quite comfortable in this piece. What is really difficult, or has always been very difficult for me, is in the first movement that you somehow connect all the little parts together, you know, that you have the impression of one big movement. And sometimes when I listen to other performances, it feels, for me, a little too fragmented, you know. So that's been a great challenge for me. I'm still working, of course.
The most modern piece, time-wise, on your program is by Luciano Berio, and it's the Five Variations. When I listened to it earlier today, I was a little lost. I couldn't find a theme in these variations.
It's of course, it's not variations in the traditional sense of the word, you know. It's a one-movement piece, about 9 minutes, consisting of I would say, discrete sections, just developing related material, musical material, but in very contrasting ways. So, And it's also, it's not a traditional 12-tone piece either, you know. The idea of the first three pieces of my recital program is a little bit that all these pieces are rather progressive works of music for their time, you know. So we have already talked about the Papillon, but also the Beethoven Sonata was completely modern when he composed it. And so is the Berio piece.
Where in his creative output did these five variations come? Were they also an early piece like Schumann's Papillon?
Yes, it's a rather early piece. It was composed in 1952-53. And then about 15 years later, he composed a new version or just a revised version. And that's the version I'm playing, of course. And he himself, actually, Berio himself, really liked to play the piece himself. So he also played the very first performance of this piece.
One thing I noticed is that this composer seems very clear about how sound should either ring on or should cut off, immediately stop. It sounds like you really have to pay attention to that. Is it notated in the score very exactly?
Yeah, it's noted exactly, yes. And for me, the piece starts very, very soft. So in the beginning, he writes very vague, you know, it should sound vague and extremely soft, so almost not, audible, you know. And then it builds up until a big climax at the end of the fourth variation, and then in the last variation, and there is also a coda, it calms down again. So there is also this big arc over the whole piece, I think.
Years ago, a composer who was on the faculty here at the university in Kalamazoo, Western Michigan University, opened my eyes about how to listen to new music that doesn't have clear tonal centers. He said something very simple. He said, they're just intervals. Any two intervals can become beautiful or something else. It's all about context. And so when I heard the Berio opening, I heard some very consonant intervals as well as intervals that were completely unexpected. And it makes it easier, I think, to listen to pieces when you find many, many moments where you hear consonants and dissonance and you can take a little time to appreciate beauty in a piece that isn't conventionally beautiful.
Well, I'm so used to listening to contemporary music. It was a great interest for me from the beginning when I was a student. So I really don't miss tonal music, you know, when I listen to contemporary music.
It's all one continuum for you.
Yes, and I find it so exciting that Schönberg and Webern did this last step. And after the long development of the tonal music, they decided to do something completely different, you know, which was kind of a logical consequence after the whole history of tonal music. But still, it took these great composers to take the risk to enter a completely new field, you know. I find it extremely exciting.
In your program of works that broke the mold for their times, the earliest composer is Ludwig van Beethoven. We haven't really touched on this sonata yet, the 13th sonata. What are some of its features?
Well, for me, you know, the fact that all the movements are merged together. It's something new, and it's almost like in a dream. You know, you come from one movement into the next movement, which is completely different, and so it's an expansion of the sonata form, and it's a kind of a combination between a sonata and a fantasy. And of course, this piece had a significant influence on the Romantic composers. And that's also why I think it's a nice combination with the Schumann Fantasy. Actually, I don't know if you heard that, but the original title of the Schumann Fantasy was Sonata for Beethoven. There is a quote in the Schumann Fantasy at the end of the first movement from Beethoven's song cycle, An die ferne Geliebte.
Finally, Mr. Fellner, I have been asking other pianists I've interviewed to recommend some other pianists who are appearing at the Gilmour International Keyboard Festival, and I see from the schedule that close to when you're performing, there are also concerts by Imogen Cooper, the English pianist, or the Brazilian pianist Nelson Freira. There's also a jazz concert by Aaron Deal. Who could you recommend?
Of course, I know Imogen Cooper. She's a very close friend of mine. And I also know Nelson Freire. Actually, Nelson Freire was in the jury in 93 when I won the Clara Haskell competition.
Oh.
So I would love to listen to these two concerts, of course.
Well, thank you for taking the time to talk to me today, and all the best at the Gilmour.
Thank you so much.